What do you want? Oh, bless the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Do you remember that verse? I think about a year ago I just tentatively did a brief foray into the world of delighting and desiring. I have some notes and I just realized it was a year ago. That's from Psalms 37 verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And sometimes, we're all friends here, aren't we? We can be honest. I've done this. So I read a verse like that and I think, oh great, I've got the secret there to get what I want. So I need to figure out how to delight in the Lord as a kind of means to an end to get what I want. Have you ever done that? So what I really want is, you know, a bit of stability and a reasonable income, not too much, just, you know, tide me over. Really could do with the mortgage being totally sorted. So I've got loads of wants, actually. So this is wonderful. I found a key. So I need to figure out how to delight properly and then I'll get what I want. Now, hopefully you've spotted.
He'll only give you what you want if it's what he wants for you.
I think you're onto something there. I should have chatted to you some years ago. I'm just now we're having a wry smile here, but sometimes actually it's quite a serious point that we actually are really in the shallows of things, the blessings, the what we might get out of this relationship with God in terms of temporal blessing, and absolutely the fact that we're here this morning, we need to be thankful for. We absolutely the building, the fact that we're able health-wise to actually be here today. These are all huge blessings, aren't they? But I have a sense that what the psalmist is opening up to us here is that the fundamental desire and longing and want and need of the human heart is for God himself. And this simple verse in Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. May he be your focus and love and passion and preoccupation. Delight in him and he will fulfill your deepest longings. So do you see, we go from the things to the giver himself. Let's just look, shall we, briefly back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. I'm just going to read a few verses. If you want to turn, I'm going to dip around. Hopefully we'll be done in good time. So in Genesis chapter 3, I'll just read these verses from verse 1 down to verse 6. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Question. This engagement, the enemy of our souls comes and seeks to engage us. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then we go next level, don't we? The serpent says to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And here we have verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree, and this is where just focus in on this morning, desirable. A tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And we'll just pause there. So verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Really interesting, isn't it? I've been thinking recently a lot about David. What a life. We heard at Quinta about David and Goliath from our brother Les. Wow, my heart was expanded listening to the word of God there. And then we know, dear David, a man after God's own heart, that's the testimony, isn't it, in Scripture. But we also know that remarkable unveiling in Psalm 51. And he said, you, oh God, you desire truth in the inward part. And you will make me to know, interesting, hold this thought, make me to know wisdom in the hidden place. Now, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Isn't it fascinating? The lie, the subtlety, but the power of it, the temptation, and then the biting down on the forbidden fruit. Now you'll know, but just to remind us, that God's generosity, opening up the whole of the garden, the wonderful diversity of trees and fruit, help yourself, enjoy with in his heart that they would eat from the tree of life. Don't go for that one, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but can you see the awful tragedy of it? And we, in our fallen state, project back to generous God and say, you mean, you're all about don'ts. Can you the picture, the absurdity of it. Lavish with generosity. The abundance. And within that abundance, the very tree of life that they could have helped themselves to. And the enemy comes in. Bite down on this. And they did, didn't they? And we do, don't we? Really interesting in Proverbs. We often quote scriptures, don't we? And we part quote them. I've been challenged on that this past week as well. You remember that one? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, and we usually put a full stop there. And it's when we're wanting something to come to fruition, some desire, some longing, and we've lived experience of this in our various ways, haven't we? The Lord knows our hearts, and there is a very real truth there. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but actually it's comma. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Isn't that wonderful? When the desire comes, it's a tree of life. So can we lift up and away and have the grand perspective that this is all about Jesus? It's always been about Jesus. And the deepest desire and longing of humanity is to be in fellowship with God. And we fell, didn't we? We fell on a grand scale. Distracted, tempted, deceived, willfully going our own way. And dear David, even the man after God's own heart, the king in Israel, we won't go into his story, but he fell, didn't he? A great height. And it was similar. It was along a similar line. Eyes. Saw what was desirable and went for it. Misplaced desire. The result, devastating loss and brokenness. This is what we're dealing with. Sorry if this is all a bit heavy, but it's good news. But we need to know how bad the bad news is before the good really resonates with all its goodness. We need to know that we're utterly lost. Sinful humanity. Done to. We need to know it. It's his goodness that reveals the gravity of our lost estate. And then, when the gospel comes, it's amazing grace. No wonder John Newton, slave trader, wrote him like that. Amazing. Amazing. Oh, praise his name. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And the tragedy, in a sense, of the fall was that the opportunity was there to eat of the tree of life, to have desire fully satiated in God, in his great heart, in his bounty, in his generosity, in his presence, there's fullness of joy, isn't there? Oh, praise him. Why, says the prophet, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Can you hear the longing heart of God, the desire, the passion, the heartbreak of God over us, his lost people? Can you hear it? Through the prophet. Why do you spend your wages for that which does not satisfy? Can you hear? This is deep, isn't it? This is fundamental, elemental, right at the core of things. And then listen carefully to me. He wants our attention. That's what happened. We completely put our attention in the wrong place and then followed through. Eat what is good. Delight yourself in abundance. That was God's heart. That's always been God's heart. Eat what is good. Eat the garden. It's abundant. Eat. Delight. And the enemy of our souls. It's the biggest con. Soul down a river. Sugar-coated but laced with a devastating blow. C.S. Lewis was right, wasn't he, when he said, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can truly satisfy, the most probable explanation, I love this, is that I was made for another world. I was made for another realm. This is the truth, my friends. We were created for another realm. And I don't mean like some sort of sci-fi thing. I mean when God said, eat in the garden, he was encouraging the exercise of that created will, part of the heart of man, to choose well and to eat well and to partake of the tree of life and live in intimate fellowship and union with Almighty Living God. This is a grand story, and it's the truth. Bless the Lord, I felt during that week some kind of holy boldness getting back into me. I realised, if I'm honest, in the environment I'm in, feeling stifled and reluctant to speak up and out. Oh, bless the Lord. You were made for another world. You were created for another realm. I'm not talking, as I said, some kind of, you know, don't imagine like, oh, we're on the wrong planet. Actually, God's got a great plan and he wants to live out the reality of the powers of the age to come in and through his people now, in anticipation of the new creation that's coming. Isn't that wonderful? Embrace the tension. Absolutely, I'm with you. I'm really looking forward to the not yet. But what about the now? And the not yet. And in fact, that tension fuels, can I use that? Sorry, that's probably not environmentally friendly, is it? But go with me. Some renewable energy fuel. Yeah. Fuels our motivation to live right now, in light of the hope that burns within us. And if it isn't burning, my friend, I believe the Lord wants to breathe fresh on us. He's breathing fresh in my little life to kindle afresh the gift of God that's in us, that we should burn and not go out, not just smoulder and apologize for our existence, but burn with holy fire and desire and passion for his name, for his glory. Amen. What do you want, my friends? Absolutely, with my brother, I want you, Lord. I want you. It would seem, says C.S. Lewis, our Lord finds that our desires are not too strong, but too weak. It's interesting, when we're struggling with something, we often think our desires are too strong. It's all got out of hand. The world, actually, you look at what happens when attention is in the wrong place and it rapidly becomes out of hand. C.S. Lewis, I love it. Very countercultural. Gets you thinking. Not too strong, actually, but too weak. It's just that it's misplaced. I love that, don't you? He goes on to say, we are half... Sorry, don't take offence. I'm just quoting C.S. Lewis. Clive Stapleton. Wonderful set of names his mother gave him. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with, and I won't go into the detail there, but essentially lesser things, when infinite joy is offered to us. Back to the garden. Eat and be satisfied. Delight yourself in abundance. Eat from the tree of life. Infinite joy. Excuse me, kids. Again, this is C.S. Lewis. I'm just quoting. We're like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a wonderful holiday at the seaside. And then he finishes his thought on this. We're far too easily pleased. Isn't that interesting? Desire too weak, too easily pleased. You've been made to be filled with God. Designed for this, my friends. Created with artistic genius and precision to be united in fellowship with God filled. Oh, glory to God. If your heart, and what a rich metaphor that is in the scriptures, I'm not talking about your aortic pump. I'm talking about your will and your desire and your emotion and a whole array of other wonderful richness that's spoken to us from the scriptures. If your heart at this point isn't going, oh Lord, increase my capacity, enlarge my heart, that's part of the intended purpose. I don't know if young Jonathan Worsley's here. I don't think he is. One of your lads, Richard, bless him. That's one of the big takeaways for me from Quinta. He prayed out in one of the meetings and it was along the line of, increase my capacity. In the presence of God, there should be something rising. We might not articulate it like that, but the disciples would often say, increase our faith. Wouldn't they? Or, Lord, this was someone else, you remember? Lord, I believe. Help me. Help me with my unbelief. Somehow, I want to believe more. Oh, praise his name. Praise his name. I think this is just, it's not so much a sermon as an encouragement and a holy provocation. Can I call it that? That's a bit old school, isn't it? A bit Puritan. Psalm 63, dear David, the passion of the man for God. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you. This is Psalm 63, 1-4. So I have looked for you. Do you see the attention? The eyes in Genesis where it all went horribly wrong. And now David, I'm looking for you, Lord. I seek you. I long for you. I thirst for you. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see you, to see your power, to see your glory. And then because your loving kindness is better than life itself. Is that our testimony? Where we're up to? Can we say an amen to that? Have you tasted the sweetness of his kindness? Because your loving kindness is better than life. And we were talking, weren't we? Praying and enjoying the goodness of God this morning and thinking about praise. I think Mark prayed something about the motivation for praise. Because of this, we praise you. And here in the psalm, your loving kindness is better than life. Because of that, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Oh, glory to his name. That's David, and you can search the Psalms for more of this theme. It's so rich. Asaph, Psalm 73. I can hear the turning of the pages. I like that. Sometimes I use my phone, but if I'm honest, a little bit old school again. I like the sound of the paper. Don't worry, if you're on your phone, as long as you're getting into the Word, that's the key. But I do like the little crunch of the paper, don't you? And to listen to this. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire. This is verse 25. Besides you. Wow. What a place Asaph has come to there. Focus, desire, attention. Delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I'm just going to read you again a number of things that have meant so much to me over the years and have been rekindled, if you like, in my heart and thinking just over these past weeks. Come near to the holy men and women of the past, and you will soon feel the heat of their desire after God. And we can think, oh, the giants of the past. Phil, when you prayed, I felt the heat of desire for God. And you know a coal, you know that illustration, don't you? If you take a coal out and isolate it, it rapidly loses that glow. But if it's in the context of the togetherness of the coals, mutual heat, and we're called to travel together, my friends. If for some period we are placed, as many of us were over these past 2 years, into isolation, we trust in Him like we've been responding. We absolutely trust in Him. Those hands, those nail-pierced hands, are absolutely, like Linda prayed, the safest place to be. And if we're in that kind of isolation, we know His promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. So even if, humanly speaking, we're utterly alone, you, my friend, if you're His, you are never alone. And His coal, so to speak, will keep your little coal glowing brightly. Stay close. But there is a warning, isn't there? That as much as is within our ability and will to walk on, to press on, to go on together, we are to keep the fellowship, the communion of the saints, the gathering of ourselves together, whether that's online, and bless you, Zoom attendees, it's wonderful. Coming in from other countries as well. But we are, aren't we, to gather together. And times like this morning, you sense it, don't you? I know it's not just about our feelings, but we have those blessed times where, oh God, you're stirring my heart as my brother, my sister prays, gives testimony. You too, bless you. Through the fire, another use of the fire, you shall not be burned, and the Lord brings us through with testimonies of His goodness. Pray for dear Anne in her recent loss. I thank the Lord for that dear couple. We met them in China many years ago. Their lives sparked inspiration in mine. Your lives spark inspiration in mine and Chan's and the girls. And it's mutual, isn't it? Sarah getting up last week and her heart for Leon. And Dave's heart as he prayed for that workplace. And the fire burns. And the passion is stirred and the love is shared. And God's great heart is manifest. And that wonderful, unrelenting, redemptive person, purpose marches on. Andrew Ollerton loved that so much. One little bit. Can I just say, your best days are yet to come. Wow, that hit me. As physically I've just been grappling with how I might just sort of start to ease down slightly. And I was like, back up, I'm here. Lord, you've got me. The vessel might be a bit slightly more creaky. But that's never been an issue for the Lord. Burn! Fire of God. Our light grows brighter and brighter. The path of the just. You know that, don't you? You're not fading out. Although you might be losing physical capacity, my friend, because of Jesus, you are not fading out. I saw my dear dad physically fade away in front of my eyes. We saw him, but he didn't fade out. He went out
in a blaze of glory. Yes. And didn't hobble his way over the line. But an abundant entrance was granted. A door. He's prayed for doors of opportunity. I don't know. I won't go there. I was just thinking what Dad might be thinking. But I just smiled the other day thinking, oh, Dad, your prayer's been answered. I mean, talk about a door of opportunity. Glory. The undiscovered country. Can you hear my heart? God's heart. Oh, praise him. We're going to come in very soon. These men and women of old, and maybe current too, they mourned for him. They prayed, they wrestled, they sought for him day and night, in season and out. And when they'd found him, the finding was all the sweeter, somehow, for the long seeking. Listen to this. Moses used the fact that he knew God as a rationale, a justification, if you like, an argument for knowing him better. Quote, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. Oh great, I found grace in your sight, job done, brilliant, all sorted. Ooh, can you feel the impetus, the taste? Is to spur us on. Being touched by amazing grace is to fuel the fire. Show, I mean, what an ask. What an ask. Show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. And there, from there, you think, wow, that's a big ask. From there he rose and made this daring request, and Mum's already preempted it. I, can you hear the desire? I beseech you, show me your glory. Show me your glory. I believe the Lord wants to stir, rekindle, reawaken, and move our hearts to seek his face. And essentially this, whatever our experience has been, and I know this room is packed with testimony of the reality of the living God at work in people's lives and through them. I've sat, think of you, dear Dave, Brian. I owe you a debt of gratitude and love. Sorry to embarrass you, but we're friends. It's like family here. I remember in my teens, Brian, those young people's sessions changed the trajectory, the course of my life forever. Dave, sitting under your ministry, I remember Sunday evenings as a young lad, you did a series on Abraham. I remember sitting about there. And hunger for God stirred. So this room is packed. Chris, bless you, my friend. I could go through everyone. Hold that. Thank the Lord for that. But in the light of what we're talking about, can I just suggest, in a sense, we're just on the cusp. This is just a foretaste of glory divine. Oh, praise his wonderful name. As the deer pants, the deer pants, longs for water.
so. I mean, what a metaphor that is. That's pretty elemental, isn't it? The psalmist takes up a deer panting for water. Thirst. Searching for fresh water. And then says, so, in like manner, my soul, essentially who I am, longs for you. Oh God, my soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I mean, this is some movement, isn't it? Some desire. Praise his wonderful name. We're just going to close very shortly. I want to quote a hymn the Lord spoke to me. Just, I woke early in the morning one day. It was on the back of some of the ministry. And I think Les had mentioned, we've been hearing from Larry about tasting and seeing and this menu in Psalm 119. And then Les spoke about the Holy Spirit, and he mentioned someone called Daniel Nash, who apparently had supported Finney in those revivals. And Nash's role, I've read all about him since, remarkable. He'd had great disappointment. Someone called him the worst preacher that had ever hit America. That's probably a paraphrase. He'd been voted out of the church that he was ministering in. Heartbreak. Despondent. Feeling like, what's going on? The Lord had other plans and purposes and took him up to be a hidden man of intercessory prayer. He died at 56. But heaven rejoices at the work of Christ in that man. And on the back of all these things, so challenged, this hymn just, you know, sometimes where it just lands in your heart. Come, Holy Ghost, all quickening fire, come, and in me delight to rest. Drawn by the lure of strong desire, oh, come and consecrate my breast. The temple of my soul prepare and fix thy sacred presence. There, you can look up this hymn. It ends with this, come then, my God, mark out thine heir. Listen to this, of heaven a larger earnest give. Now, prior to last week, when I'd read that, I'd go into like a little bit of a theological, ooh, you know, how does that sit? Where am I? Am I filled? Those kind of thoughts. We can pray that. More, Lord. Show me your glory. Of heaven a larger earnest. That's the deposit, the down payment. The hors d'oeuvre, to use the food analogy. A larger earnest give, with clearer light thy witness bear, more sensibly within me live. Let all my powers, have you ever prayed like this? Let all my powers thy entrance feel, and deeper, there it is again, larger, deeper, stamp thyself the seal. Is that in your heart? We're going to pray. I know our time has gone, but genuinely I feel like the Lord is calling us, calling me. It's almost like a new season. Bless the Lord. So we can say, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge our hearts. Praise him. Let's just pray. Oh Lord. Lord, thank you that you deliberately come to us to stir our hearts and to encourage desire for you. Lord, in answer to that simple question, what do we want, Lord? Wherever we're up to in our hearts, we say, Lord, we want you. Lord, we want you. We bless you, Lord, that you are a covenant-keeping God. Reminded of David's last words. In a context where his house was not so with God. And yet, David was able to say, He has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and secure, for this is all my salvation, all my desire. Will he not make it increase? Oh, we praise you, Lord, that you are the God of increase, enlargement, movement forward. And we respond to you, Lord, whatever our situation is. We look away from all lesser things. Lord, help us now to lay aside every hindrance, every distraction, and refocus by your grace and see that you've always been looking at us with great affection and desire. We look up to you, Lord. We hear your voice in our hearts. Come away. Rise up. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. And we entrust our responses this morning to you. That you should take our small love as we pour it out, Lord. And increase, multiply for your glory. In Jesus' name and for his glory, Father, we ask these things. Amen.